You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Episode number 52 of That One Time on Tour is brought to you by the band Black Cat Manor. Black Cat Manor is a hardcore punk band from Freeport, Illinois. Since their creation in 2013, Black Cat Manor has released 3 EPs, 2 music videos, and had their song Hellfire featured on FX's American Horror Story Cult. Check out Black Cat Manor at facebook.com/Black Cat Manor Band, or you can get all the links for everything Black Cat Manor at blackcatmanorband.com. You can also check them out on an upcoming episode of That One Time on Tour, where I will be highlighting unsigned bands. Now here it is, their new single, Evidence to Burn.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Hey, this is Felicia Swinney, and you're listening to That One Time on Tour.
Run for the road, 'cause it's going on and on. We'll be driving through the darkest night until the break of dawn. We'll be heading for the cities, another show for us to play. To get back in the bank tomorrow, we'll do it all again.
Hey guys, this is Felicia Swinney. Welcome to That One Time on Tour. I am your host, Felicia Swinney.
You're my co-host.
I'm your host.
Oh, you're hosting. Okay, yeah. She's taking over the show, guys.
I'm the host, and we're doing something a little different this time. I will be interviewing my husband, I guess. And
conversation.
We're just doing a little conversation. I will be reading out some questions of the viewers and
viewers.
Listeners. The listeners. It's sorry. Okay.
She's new. She's new to the podcasting
the listeners,
game.
Yeah. I will be reading your questions and asking Chris, and we'll just go from there.
That's great. And as always, I am your normal host, Chris Swinney. Back with another stellar conversation with my wife, Felicia Swinney. But yeah, you guys wrote in, you hit me up on Instagram, you sent voicemails, and you had questions. This is the year anniversary episode number 52. So we don't have a guest this week. I mean, we have a guest. My wife is here.
Hello.
But she's going to be asking the questions that you guys sent in. So before we get to the questions, we need to take care of a little bit of business. You guys need to check out my sponsors at the beginning. You heard about rockabilia.com, so make sure you go check them out. They're an amazing place. I also want to tell you about artistflags.com. They make amazing scrims and backdrops for bands, so check them out. Go hit Cody up over at artistflags.com. I need to tell you about Permanence Tattoo Gallery. My buddy Jacob owns Permanence Tattoo Gallery. He's going to be on the show in the future. He did a tattoo on my beautiful wife. He just did some tattoos on me as well. It's a great shop. It's over in Anderson, Indiana. So check them out. They are on Instagram and Facebook, Permanence Tattoo Gallery. And I think that's all the sponsors. So before we get into this, make sure you're following us on all the social media platforms. It's at TOTOT Podcast. If you want to become a sponsor like the band at the beginning, you can hit me up, TOTOTPodcast@gmail.com. Review, rate, subscribe, all that good stuff wherever you listen to podcasts, and that's it. So now we're gonna jump in. We're gonna start answering your questions, and I've probably got some questions for my wife as well. So you guys hear me talk about her all the time on the show. So she is now on the show, and I'm gonna give it to you now. You've got these awesome questions from the listeners, so let's go for it.
All right. So our first question is from Felix from North Dakota. They want to know what bands influenced you to learn guitar.
Well, there's only really one band that influenced me to learn guitar, and you probably know this.
Metallica.
Yeah. It was crazy. I was really young. It's like 6 or 7, maybe 8 years old. And I got Master of Puppets on cassette, and it was life changing. I thought it was my own little secret. Like they recorded it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddy, I told this story before on the podcast, my buddy Joey and I, we were really into Metallica, and we had like Anthrax and all these different tapes. And we had a little shoebox of tapes, and 2 or 3 days it would spin at my house. And then 2 or 3 days he'd take it. We didn't realize yet that you could copy the tapes. Mm-hmm. So we would share it, like shared custody of our little box of metal. But it totally, you know, the way that James Hetfield plays and writes songs, and it influenced me, and it taught me. Basically, I took lessons for a while, but I wasn't really feeling the teacher. He was kind of stupid. And so my dad got me a bunch of tablature books for the albums, and I learned how to play all the riffs. And if it wasn't for Metallica, I would not play guitar. There's a lot of other bands too. I mean, like I love Skid Row when I was growing up. And I didn't like a lot of the hair metal stuff, but I love Skid Row. I love Guns N' Roses. And when I was probably 12 or 13, I found Bad Religion, and I found The Misfits, and I found NOFX. And then I went down the punk rabbit hole, and I kind of never came back from that.
And let's just say that your dad was your biggest fan.
My dad was my biggest fan. Yeah, we went to see, he took me to see Metallica when I was like 11 years old. And The Cult opened up. It was on the Justice tour. And it was crazy. We left there and he's like, what were those amps with the shiny covers on them? And I'm like, oh, those are Mesa Boogies. He's like, well, we got to get you a Mesa Boogie. So like my dad didn't, I don't know, like most dads would think it would be, you know, go be a lawyer, go be a doctor, get a good job. But my dad's like, oh, you want to play music? I'm going to be your bank pretty much.
Absolutely.
So you can do whatever you want. And I mean, it worked out for the most part. Mm-hmm. I'm still doing music in certain ways.
I know. We all wish that Phil was still here with us.
Yes. Rest in peace to my dad. I love my dad. He was the best guy in the world. And if I can be half the man and half the father that he was, I'll be stoked. So
you're an amazing father.
Oh, thanks. It's accolades time on the podcast. But yeah, Metallica did it for me and they still do it for me. And yeah. I've been on, you know, a couple Metallica podcasts as a guest talking about my love for Metallica, and it never changes. Like when Silas is our son. I lay with Silas while he's going to sleep at night, and 9 times out of 10, when I'm on my phone on YouTube while he's going to sleep, I'm watching Metallica videos.
I know. I hear you from the other room.
Yeah. It's either Metallica videos or mixing podcast tutorials. Mm-hmm. Or Alice in Chains, which is another band. Okay, I can't leave that out. Alice in Chains, as well as Soundgarden and Silverchair. Now I'll tell you right now, Alice in Chains, of course, they're amazing. You kind of got into them a little more. You're younger than me, but mm-hmm. you're watching Unplugged, and you're like, wow, I've never.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I never thought I would like these guys, and mm-hmm. then you got into them.
Yeah.
But Silverchair is another band, and I've mentioned them on the show. Daniel Johns or any of the guys from Silverchair are a dream guest for me. They were my age and they had like a multi-platinum selling record in the United States. They're from Australia. So when I saw them, I was like, oh, well, if they can do it, they're better songwriters than I am, but yeah. I was like, if they're my age and they're on MTV, I can totally do it. So yeah, Metallica number one, but then a lot of other kind of grunge type 90s bands did it for me. Pearl All Jam right. as well. I love Pearl Jam.
Okay.
Good job. That was the first question. Who was that? Felix from North Dakota?
Felix.
Felix, thank you so much for listening. And I hope I answered your question well.
Okay. So our next question is from Rachel from New Jersey.
Okay.
And her question is, what is your favorite country you have been to?
Been to a lot of them. There's different favorites for different reasons. I talk on the podcast all like at length about my love for South Africa. I don't know. It was such a fun tour when we were there. The people were great. We had an amazing road crew. We had like our handlers, you know, quote unquote handlers were the nicest people ever. The food was great. It was just a life-changing experience because, you know, people go to England, people go to Mexico. No one goes to South Africa. And I want to go back there super bad. I want to take you and the kids and show you guys how great it is there. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you and I share Costa Rica.
Yes.
Because I know you, why don't you tell them a little bit about your, you know, you went to Costa Rica and just kind of backpacked around, right?
Yeah, I was like, I think I was 22, 23. And I just quit my job and packed up all my stuff and just booked a flight. It was my first flight that I've ever taken.
Your first flight was an international flight.
I never been out of the country or on a flight in general. And I just, I packed up everything and said I was moving to Costa Rica. And my family was terribly mad at me, but it was something that I just had to do. And I did it. And it was the best experience of my life.
And one of the worst, because what happened?
One of the worst, but I spent about 2 months down there. I took a bus and traveled all over the country, stayed at a bunch of hostels, and then I got super sick, so I had to come home.
You got dengue fever.
Yeah, the mosquitoes got the best of me. So I came home, and I laid in bed for like a month, and then I got better, and I don't regret anything, though. It was the best thing I could have done, and for all of you young people out there, travel and
yeah, definitely,
and don't regret anything and just go for it.
See, Costa Rica for me, I was down there playing a couple times, and then I went down there just on a vacation, and I had never really driven in another country, but I rented a car and drove all over the place, and there's no street signs anywhere.
Can you imagine being on a public bus down there?
I was on. I've done that before.
Did
yeah.
you do the bus too?
But no, I did. I did a public bus in Ecuador, which is another country that I love. I took a public bus. That's a funny story too. We'll switch to Ecuador. So yeah, I took a public bus, and it was kind of probably what your experience was. But there were chickens and goats on the bus, and I was going to Otavalo, which is up in the kind of up in the mountains from Quito, Ecuador. And it was only like $3 for the bus ride. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But every time they would stop in like a little village or a little town, people would get on the bus and try to sell you stuff. And like they'd have like Cokes or orange slices or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But I just remember from that ride, it was like a 2 or 3 hour ride. And they had a little crappy black and white television. And they were showing The Rock with Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage. And it was in Spanish.
Nice.
See, it might have not been like a public transit, but it was one of those, you know, inter-country.
Yeah, we didn't have TVs on our
bus. Well, I mean, this was a shitty bus, but they had some entertainment. But yeah, it was Ecuador is wonderful, but Costa Rica, I've got you and I both. I think we'll end up there at some point.
Yeah, peace of my heart is there.
But then you've also got, I mean, the Eastern Bloc countries over in Europe that people don't really get to very often. I spent some time in Prague over in the Czech Republic, and man, it was. I don't know. Like I've told this story before as well, but my friend Rob, who used to tour manage for the Ataris, we went to the Czech Republic together, and like an hour out of the airport, we're walking down the Charles Bridge, which is this big medieval bridge made out of stone that goes into the city center. And there's a string quartet playing Master of Puppets on the bridge. It's a very metal city, Prague. It's, nice. It's medieval. Yeah. They have like a 600-year-old clock in the middle of town, and there's a castle, like a Prague castle. Like it's, I love stuff like that. Anything that's a little bit out of the ordinary, like I've been all over the world, but those places really did it for me. In Prague, the food there is crazy. The one thing I don't like about the food in Prague is they put horseradish on everything. So you have to tell them. I found out 3 days in, it's like, oh, if I just tell you no horseradish, they'll look at you funny, but then they won't do it. Like anything, name any food that you enjoy.
Well, I mean, oysters.
Oysters. They would.
And you need a horseradish well, on oysters.
Name a food that doesn't have horseradish normally.
Cheeseburgers.
And that's, yeah, they would put it on cheese. I had a cheeseburger like at McDonald's.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
That's one thing. Every country I've ever been to, and this sounds really, really stupid, and people make fun of me, but most countries in the world have a KFC.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to, you know, try something that feels like home, you go find the KFC. And I made it my goal to try KFC in every country I went to. And I've had KFC in, did we have it in Jamaica?
Yes, we did.
Okay. So yeah, I've had it in almost every country. There were a couple odd countries in South America that didn't have it. And I think a couple in Europe that didn't have it. But they all taste the same.
Yeah.
I mean, the KFC in Ecuador tasted just like the KFC in Muncie, Indiana. And it tasted just like the KFC in Prague. So. Wow. Yeah, that started actually when I was in Prague, because it was like 3 a.m. and Rob and I were walking around kind of jet lagged and messed up and hungry. And the only thing open was Taco Bell or KFC. And I was like, well, I'm not going to Taco Bell. So,
well, you've always been a fan of KFC. So
I am. And now that I'm on this keto diet, I can't have it.
No KFC.
Yeah. We are the keto couple right now.
Yes, we are.
So, yeah. So those are some countries that I really, really like. And I mean, I always find something cool about every country that I go to, but those are the ones that I love the best. So,
all right.
Rachel from New Jersey.
Yes.
Thank you, Rachel, for your question. I appreciate that.
Okay. So we are moving on. Question 3. What is your favorite tattoo and least favorite tattoo? And this is from Moshe.
Yeah, he's hit me up a couple times. He's a listener out of Israel.
Moshe from Israel.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite tattoo and least favorite tattoo?
Well, it always seems like my favorite is my most recent tattoo. So it changes, but I'm not going to use that because I just got, you know, the kids' names on my hands and whatnot. But My favorite tattoo is probably my tiger mm-hmm. on my knee, just because I think it looks pretty cool.
It does.
I don't know. It just, I never thought I'd get my kneecap tattooed, but I did, and I like it. So shout out to Chauncey down in Pensacola for doing that for me. But yeah, I love that. I love a lot of my tattoos. I love my hand tattoos are pretty cool. I've always liked those a lot. But anything that to do with my kids, I like, even though these aren't done great. Mm-hmm. I still really, really like them. But I love tattoos. But yeah, probably my knee. My knee is my most favorite.
And least favorite.
I have two least favorites. Do you want to guess what my least favorites are?
Well, I would guess your flames on
my
your
50s
leg.
Hot rod flames on my on my right leg. Yeah, I'm going to get those covered up. I got them when I was 19.
They're pretty bad.
When I was 19, I had me and the two guys in my band, Chronic Chaos. They were brothers, and we all had 71 Novas, like muscle cars. Mm-hmm. And people would like call us Nova Chaos because we all had Novas. And we had license plates, C Chaos 1, C Chaos 2, C Chaos 3. I had to be C Chaos 3 because they were brothers. Mm-hmm. Kind of sucked. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so my band back then, the funny thing about this was back then when we were playing, they had, like, we were into muscle cars and, like, you know, flames and hot rods and stuff like that. But there was this local store in Marion, Indiana called Daddy-O's, and they sold, like, you know, hipster bowling shirts. Back then they weren't hipster, I guess, but like anybody that's seen the movie Swingers, it was kind of like how those dudes dressed, you know, they wanted to be in the 50s. And they wanted to sponsor the band. They came and saw the band and they wanted to sponsor. So I'm like, well, and I didn't know what a sponsorship was back then. And they're like, well, we don't want to give any money, but we'll give you guys like $300 each to spend in the store. So we got bowling shirts and I got shoes, and the shoes had a little compartment where you could put your weed and like,
oh gosh.
And we thought it was really cool. And like, we were walking billboards for that store, because every show we played, we looked like we were on the set of Swingers. And mind you, this was when I was 19. A long time ago. Mm-hmm. So one of the shirts that I had like the blue 50s hot rod flames. And one day I was working at this record store called Karma Records, and it was a clusterfuck. They had a record store, a beauty salon, a restaurant called Karma Cafe, and a tattoo shop in the same little like building in Marion, Indiana. It was a one-stop shop. And there was a guy there that tattooed. His name was Troy. And one day when I was getting off work, he's like, dude, I want to do a tattoo on you. And I'm like, and I only had like three at that point. Like, I was a baby, you know? Hmm. And I said, well, I don't know what I want. I used to think about it a lot more than I do. Now I just get tattooed. I don't care. But back then I always tried to put thought into it. That was probably my first time I didn't put thought into it, because I had that bowling shirt on that had the blue hot rod flames. Mm-hmm. And he's like, let's just do flames around your leg. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Well, and the thing is, it might look better if like it was finished, but like a week later he left and never came back. So it's been on my body since I was 19. That's been a long time.
I remember drawing those flames on my binder in middle school.
There you go. See? So you had a period where you liked the flames as well.
Yes. Yes. I understand.
But yeah, so that's my least favorite. I also really don't like my Indiana tattoo.
Yeah.
We were on tour in Toledo, Ohio, which is funny. I got an Indiana tattoo in Ohio while I was on tour. We were at this place, I think it was called Frankie's, at the University of Toledo, and we were backstage, and this kid came up, not kid, I guess he was probably a little younger than me, but he said, hey man, I'm a huge fan, huge Atari's fan. And I'm like, thanks man. And he goes, I do tattoos down the street. Mm-mm. And I said, well, that's cool. He goes, you got a lot of tattoos. I'm like, yeah. He's like, can I give you a tattoo? And I was like, well, I want to look at your book or whatever. And so like, he showed me on his phone, like a bunch of tattoos he'd done, and they looked really good. So spur of the moment, maybe a little bit of alcohol involved, I don't know. But I said, yeah, let's do it. So 20 minutes later, I had an outline of Indiana on my ribs, and it's all blown out and fucked up. And I'm kind of over it. So eventually Jacob, actually over at Permanence, we're talking about a stomach piece and a chest piece, and we're going to cover it up. So
Well, that's going to be fun.
I have had people before that are like, no, you should just get it finished and then add everything that makes Indiana famous, like a corn cob and a race car and Larry Bird. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that. Although, I mean, that might be funny. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like that show on MTV, that How Far Is Tattoo Far?
Yeah, we don't indulge in that, but we've seen the preview.
No, I'm just saying, like, I would be horrible on that show because if someone's like, oh, I want you to get Pokemon, you know, arm wrestling an Avenger, I'd be like, okay, I don't care, whatever.
Yeah, that's the way you are.
You wouldn't even see it anyway.
No, I wouldn't even notice it.
Yeah. Okay, so that was Moshe from Israel. I've not been to Israel. I would love to go there. So Moshe, maybe if we get over that way, you can show us around. So thanks a lot, man.
Yes. Yeah, sorry I said your name wrong.
The only reason I really know is because when I worked at the Hangout in Gulf Shores, Alabama, the head of security was named, well, they said Moses, and I was like, well, it's not spelled like that. And he goes, no, I just tell people that because they can't say my name, but his name was Moshe. So I had a friend named Moshe. That's why I knew. And I'm the smartest man alive. That's why. No.
Okay. So let's go to the next question. Okay. So we are going to a question from Ryan in Arizona.
Ryan in Arizona. What's up, Ryan?
What is your favorite Metallica album and song?
Well, my favorite album fluctuates between Master of Puppets and Justice for All. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you the reason. I mean, if you really want to know the reason, Master of Puppets is a masterpiece. The songs are wonderful. There's nothing wrong. It's a perfect record. But Justice is so progressive and weird. I mean, there's a song that has like 9 time signatures. Like, it's just like they, I heard an interview with James the other day, and like he says, you know, I don't know what we were trying to do on Justice. We were trying to kill ourselves because now we're, you know, it's 30 or 40 years later and we can barely play the song. So I will say Master of Puppets did it for me when I was learning guitar, even though I couldn't play much of it. I could play some of it.
Yeah.
But Justice, even now, like the other day, one of my students wanted to learn this song called Dyer's Eve, which is one of the fastest, thrashiest songs. And I'm trying to teach him this song and I can even barely pull off a bad version of the actual part.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Gus. Gus, if you're listening. Gus, and Gus did better than I did. Gus did better than I did at the song, and he's 14 or 15 years old. So
Gus is awesome.
But yeah, so those are my two favorite. What was favorite song?
Yes.
Favorite song. I'll say my favorite song on each one of those records. My favorite song on Master of Puppets is kind of weird. It's the instrumental song. It's called Orion. It has this little middle section that Cliff Burton, their bass player that passed away back in 1986, he wrote the whole part and did all the layers. It's almost like, imagine a metal band and then Beethoven. It's the craziest thing ever. I just, the other day, I hadn't played that song for years, and I busted it out, and now I'm like, oh, I can play these leads I couldn't play when I was 15 because now I'm a better guitar player.
Yeah.
But that's my favorite on that one. I mean, all of them are great, but I love that. On Justice, I'm going to say, just because it's so insane, probably Frayed Ends of Sanity is really, really good. I was teaching Gus that the other day. Mm-hmm. Gus and I just hang out and geek out on Metallica at guitar lessons. It's really cool. I like it. So those are my favorite, yeah. And if you didn't ask, but my least favorite is Saint Anger, and I don't ever listen to that record, ever. But I understand why they did it, so I give them respect, but I can't do it.
Okay, so our next question is from Jane.
Wait, before we do that, who was that asked that? Ryan from Arizona.
Ryan from Arizona.
Shout out to Ryan. Thank you for listening.
Okay. Our next question is from Rodney in Florida.
Rodney's a buddy of mine, yeah? Rodney's a patron, so shout out to Rodney for being a patron. You guys can go over to patreon.com/TOTOT podcast to get more involved.
All right, so Rodney wants to know if you could ask a dead entertainer 3 questions, what and who would that be?
So who would the celebrity or entertainer be, and what would the questions be?
Yes.
I would, a dead entertainer, man, that's a good question. I'm just going to stay with Metallica because I love him so much.
Mm-hmm.
It would be Cliff because, I mean, he was a bass player, but the guy was a genius. Like, they already kind of think of him this way, but I think as time goes on and the legacy of that band, he's just as good as Beethoven or Bach or any of those guys.
Yeah.
And I think I would ask him, I don't know if it would be like an actual, there'd be some questions, but I'd really want to like, I would want to know his process for how he writes the things that he writes, how he chooses harmonies and how he chooses melodies, because his phrasing and everything that he's done, especially on Master of Puppets, but there's stuff on Ride the Lightning, Kill 'Em All. He does a bass solo, an entire song on their debut record mm-hmm. called Anesthesia Pulling Teeth, which is the most insane thing you've ever heard. I think it would just be, what is your process? Do you just sit and jam, or is there like a way that you put stuff together? And I would probably, I would ask him if, you know, if there is an afterlife, is he jamming with like other cool people that died?
All right.
I don't believe in an afterlife, but if there is one,
you would hope he'd be
well.
Jamming.
And I mean, I always say this too. I think I've said this to you. If hell exists, the band's a lot better than the one in heaven. Because all the people that did the bad shit were the really good musicians.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it would be Cliff Burton, and it would be basically a million questions about his craft and his, even like how he approaches music theory. Is it very mathematical, kind of like it is with me, or is it more just jamming? Like, I'd have a million questions, but it would be Cliff.
All right, and you have two more.
Two more, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you don't.
Oh, two more questions
thought,
on that.
No. Yeah, I thought he said three more dead entertainers.
No.
Okay.
Thank you, Rodney in Florida. I appreciate that. Rodney's a good guy. He listens all the time and hits me up.
Okay, so our next question is from Jamie in Scotland.
Scotland. What's up, Jamie?
Okay. They want to know, what is your favorite and least favorite show ever played?
Okay. That's a lot of shows. One of my favorite shows that I ever played, and I mean, this was actually pretty cool. This is a funny story. So we did this big festival called Bamboozle out in East Rutherford, New Jersey. I think this was in 2008 or 2009. I can't remember. It's 2009. And we were playing on the main stage, and it was bands like, it was No Doubt's reunion show, and Fall Out Boy was playing, and like all these crazy bands, Sum 41, Taking Back Sunday. It was a massive, it was a giant stadium. It was like 100,000 people. It was mm-hmm. insane. And they used to do that festival every year. I don't think they do it anymore. But the night before we played the main stage, there was a thing called the Hoodwink Festival. And we actually, that's where bands would cover like other famous bands' sets. So like we did a Misfits set, Bayside did NOFX, and Anti-Flag did The Clash. Like, it was a really, really cool thing. It was like a mini festival where bands covered each other's songs before the big festival.
Yeah.
And this was just such a weird stretch of time. We'd been on tour for like 7 weeks before we got to the East Coast. And we got a Holiday Inn right next, like pretty close to Giant Stadium. And we got all settled in. We went and played that night, the Hoodwink Festival, where we did the Misfits set. And we hung out for a while afterwards, and it started raining. So we went back to the hotel. And we always parked. We were in a van at this point. It was a smaller tour, so it wasn't like a lot of money or anything. But we parked the van up against like this embankment, and there was like a telephone pole so no one could get the equipment, you know? And we went to sleep, woke up the next day, and I remember Brian and I walked out to the van. It was probably 8 a.m. because I think we had a 10 a.m. sound check or 11 a.m. sound check. And we went to the van, and we got in the van, and I noticed really quickly that there were T-shirts flown everywhere in the van.
Yeah.
And someone broke into the van at night, and here's what they did. They took my brand new camcorder.
Oh,
I had just bought because we were going overseas and I wanted to get some stuff. I think they stole a cell phone, maybe a laptop. I can't remember, but they didn't touch my 1978 custom Gibson Les Paul. They didn't touch Brian's bass. They took, they didn't touch like this big money box we had of like merch money.
Weird.
But they took some stuff that was worth something, but if they would have just spent a little more time, they could have really made some money. So that was kind of an odd thing. So, but then this is why this is such a cool story and like why it's my favorite show. Not only was it massive and it was like the biggest stage I'd ever been on in my life, but that morning, like the night before, okay, here's where it is. The night, there was actually a day between those festivals, I think. Mm-hmm. So we had Jake, our drummer at the time, who was 16. He was nominated as prom king, but he'd been on the road, like doing homeschool and sending homework back because we were on tour. But he was nominated for prom king and he wanted to go to prom. So he flew home on the day off to go to prom, won prom king, woke up the next day, went to the airport, flew back to New Jersey. Brian and I went to go pick him up. The newly crowned Elwood High School prom king.
Yeah.
We played a show, one of the biggest shows I've ever played in my entire life. And then right from that show, we had time to grab something to eat at catering and go to the airport. And then we flew to London.
Wow.
And that was all within like a 24 hour period.
Chaos.
Like flying to Indiana, win prom, fly back, play a huge, massive show, go to the airport, fly. It was, it was just very hectic. Mm-hmm. And I think the show, even though the show was so much fun, it was great. And there were so many people there. It was insane. And so many great bands that I grew up listening to were playing that, but the whole idea of, you know, we got ripped off and then we, Jake went and won prom king. It was just a weird couple days.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite, I think.
Okay.
Least favorite. I almost shit myself in Baltimore. Which is funny because I almost shit myself all the time. But no, I we were playing. I mean, it wasn't Baltimore. Maybe it was. No, it was Fletcher's. Yeah, Fletcher's in Baltimore. Baltimore also has the biggest rats you've ever seen in your life. Anybody out there from Baltimore, I'm not saying anything bad about your city, but you guys have big rats. But yeah, we were playing Fletcher's. And Fletcher's, I don't even know if it still exists, but it was like, there was the big stage, and then you went up the stairway to get to the green room. Off of the stage. So the stage was kind of, you know, the green room was behind the stage and you could look out over the crowd from the green room and there was a bathroom up there. I'd been sick for like 3 or 4 days with flu, like really bad flu. Like it was a couple of days I almost had to not, I couldn't, I ended up playing, but it was not a good idea. Like I almost passed out. So I thought everything was good. We start playing. I don't remember what song we were playing, but there's like this big bridge where it kind of breaks and I've got maybe a minute and a half where I don't have to do anything. And so I'm playing the song, the intro, and all of a sudden my stomach goes, and like, I knew right away that I had to go and I had to puke too. So I start puking. There's a trash can off the side of the stage. I'm still playing the guitar in the middle of the song and I'm just throwing up off the stage into this trash can. Yeah. But then it got to the point where, okay, it's going to, the other is going to happen now.
Oh man.
So in that break, I was just waiting for that like 10 seconds more and I can just 10 seconds. And we got to the break. I put the guitar down, ran up the stairs, did my business as fast as I could, still kind of feeling gross and wanting to throw up, ran back down the stairs, grabbed my guitar and came right in at the end of the bridge.
That's impressive.
And then I was sick for another like 2 days and it kept going around. I think Brian got sick and I think, some of the guys we were on the road with got sick, but yeah, that's my least favorite.
Yeah.
Even though it was pretty cool.
It's understandable.
I made it through. It was pretty bad. Yeah. So that was my least favorite. Fletcher's in Baltimore, but we played the Auto Bar in Baltimore a lot. And I love that city. I just didn't like that show. Yeah. Who was that?
That was Jamie in Scotland.
Jamie in Scotland. Shout out to Jamie. Thank you for the question.
Okay, so our next one is from Julian in Canada.
Julian, my buddy from Montreal.
Okay, he wants to know.
It's a he, yes.
Favorite place ever to eat on tour in America?
My favorite place to eat on tour, which I couldn't partake in currently if I was on tour, is In-N-Out Burger.
I want to try that.
Yeah. And everybody out there that probably gets sick of hearing about it from different people, but I live in the middle of the country. I don't live in Vegas. I don't live in San Diego, so I can't partake in In-N-Out Burger, but it's a wonderful burger place. If you guys have eaten at Five Guys, imagine Five Guys, but like 50 times better. The French fries are awesome. The burgers are awesome. And In-N-Out is really, really good. There's been a couple of times when I was out there and they have like the In-N-Out truck, like different like festivals and whatnot would be catered by the In-N-Out truck. Like it's a big deal on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, there's been so many cool places that I've eaten on the road. In South Africa, I was telling you, I think the other day, we were in Cape Town. And there's this place called the Cape Town Fish Market. And I had a squid steak, not like calamari, like an inch or two thick, like steak that was squid. That was really, really good. So anytime I'm in another country, I always try to eat something a little bit, I won't say weird, but like more, maybe more native to that country. Mm-hmm. Like prawns, when places I've been that have those big, like we saw on TV the other night.
Yeah.
I get those a lot whenever I can. I had a monkey burger when I was in Africa, which...
Okay, well, we're talking about America here.
Oh, we're talking about America. Okay, so yeah, In-N-Out. And then there is also... It sounds really stupid, and I'm just going to say it, but when you're on the road, you don't have a lot of time, you don't want to spend a lot of money, Subway.
Oh, Subway.
I'm just saying it's easy, and it's good, and I don't feel like crap after I eat it. I don't know. I know that's probably lame. It's like Michael Scott saying his favorite New York pizza place is Sbarro. But, yeah. And there's other places too. Like we used to eat a lot of cool places. One standby for us, and this is kind of funny, you know, there'd be 3 or 4 days, maybe a week where we'd just eat truck stop crap and catering, whatever's at the place, pizza. And we'd always pop for a band meal at Applebee's or Chili's.
There you go.
Cause you'd feel kind of like, oh, well, this is like a real meal, even though it's kind of quality's not great, but yeah. So something like that. We always find cooler places as well. Like, there were a couple Middle Eastern kind of, like Greek type places where I had goat when I was in Connecticut was really good. I can't remember the name of the place, but when we had time, we would go to nice places and spend a little money. But 9 times out of 10, it's beef jerky at the truck stop or Subway. So, yeah.
Okay.
And if you've never been on the road, then you don't understand.
Well, I would just like to say that our favorite food is sushi.
Sushi, yeah.
Chris and I love sushi.
Sashimi.
Sashimi.
Yeah, we don't like all the crap, the bells and whistles. We like the fish.
Yes, get straight to the point.
I will tell you that the one time in my life that I got sick from sushi was when Rob and I were in Vienna, Austria. And, you know, you're in Austria, so you're thinking, go get some sausage or get some, you know, something like Austrian, German, you know.
But yeah.
We found a sushi place in Vienna, and we went there, and it was a bad choice. I think that fish was like 6 months old, but yeah. So yeah, who was that again? That was Jamie?
No, that was Julian.
Julian in Montreal. What's up, Julian? Oh, I will say, Julian's from Montreal, so you know all about this 99-cent pizza on the street corners there in Montreal, as well as poutine. The only place in the world you can get the best poutine is Montreal. You can get it all over Canada. You can make it yourself. But yes, that's my favorite. Speaking of poutine. So every time I would go to Canada, I'd always want to find poutine. Sometimes you can get it like McDonald's or somewhere. Like it's crazy. It's like everywhere. I was on Warp Tour back in like 2002. And this girl that liked the band knew that I liked poutine. And she brought me this big, like family size order of poutine to Warp Tour just to be nice because she liked the band. And I remember we were getting ready to go on stage. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. And I started, you know, eating it. And it was a bad idea because it was like 104 degrees. And poutine is like the heaviest comfort food you've ever had in your life.
Yeah.
And it was bad. I barely made it off stage. I mean, I was going to throw up because, I mean, imagine eating a pound of mashed potatoes and then playing a show in 100 degree heat. It's not a good
idea. Yeah, that's not easy at all.
But yeah, so Julian knows what's up with the poutine. He's from Montreal.
And I would also just like to say, being from Alabama, that if you're ever in Alabama, go to Milo's.
Milo's, yeah.
Milo's is the best fast food restaurant in the world.
I've got some listeners from down south. I'm pretty sure they Milo's is kind of like the southern version of In-N-Out.
I miss Milo's. You can't get it anywhere other than Alabama.
I think up here in Indiana, you can get like Milo's tea.
You can get Milo's sweet tea, but you cannot get their burgers or their fries, which is very important.
Cool. So where are we at on the questions, babe?
Okay, let's see here. We got Andy from Wisconsin.
Andy from Wisconsin. What's up, Andy?
All right. Andy wants to know, what is your favorite Atari song to play live? Or what was your favorite Atari song to play live?
Well, there's a couple that I'll say. I mean, playing Boys of Summer was a lot of fun because no matter where we were, if it was a festival or like if people didn't really know who we were, because we'd play shows where everybody liked us and was there for us, and we'd play other shows where we'd play that show and everybody would go fucking crazy.
Yeah, well, everybody wanted to hear that song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There were a couple of times on the road where Chris was like, let's not play Boys of Summer tonight. I'm like, dude, you're crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
people are going to riot. So that was a lot of fun to play just because of the reaction we'd get, like the energy from the crowd. But there were a couple other songs that were a lot of fun to play, like I Owe You One Galaxy, which is a really, really kind of faster punk song. That was a lot of fun. I'm trying to think what else. Just anything, all the really fast kind of, even some of the mid-tempo, but I always love the ones with more energy. Like Takeoffs and Landings is a really, really cool song. And the concept, the lyrically, the concept is about being on the road and takeoffs and landings. So yeah, like that was a lot of fun. But if I had to pick a favorite, it would be Boys of Summer just because of the reaction we got.
Okay.
And least favorite? Was there a least or just favorite?
Nope, just favorite.
Because I don't think I had a least favorite.
All
right. I was just happy to be there.
Okay.
That it?
That's it for Mandy.
That's it for Mandy. Where's Mandy from?
It's Andy.
Andy. Oh, Andy from Wisconsin. Yes, yeah. Andy, what's going on? Thank you, Andy, for that question.
All right, so we'll move on to Fernando.
Fernando.
From Argentina.
From Argentina. What's up, Fernando?
All right. So
I think I know this question because Fernando has asked me this in the past.
This question is, why did you not show up with the Ataris on the last South American tour?
Okay, so he's speaking of when I left the band. Mm-hmm. The Ataris were going, we had just done Warped Tour. I'd been on the road for a couple months and I was really burnt out. I was really tired. And we were supposed to be home for like 3 days and then go to South America. And I didn't know if I wanted to quit or just take a break. I didn't really know what was going to happen, but there was some issues with passports. There were some issues with visas. And it just came down to, I didn't want to go.
Yeah.
And I had some things at home that were kind of holding me here as far as family issues. And it wasn't the right time. And I wasn't in the right frame of mind to go away after being away for the last 2 or 3 months, just be home for 3 days and then go to South America. It wasn't going to work for me. And so Chris had to go up to Chicago the day before we were supposed to fly out and like fix the issues with the passports and with the visas. And I just never gave him my passport. And it just kind of, I don't know. Like there were emails back and forth. We talked for a while. There was some animosity, but that went away. But yeah, so when they got down there, they didn't have time to get a replacement. They didn't really know what they were going to do. So they just played as a three-piece for the entire tour. And I had a lot of friends in South America at the time. I still do on Facebook and I guess maybe MySpace back then. I'm not sure. And people were like, I went to the show and you weren't there. Why weren't you there? People thought I died and all kinds of stuff. But yeah, it was nothing bad happened. I just wasn't in the right frame of mind to go. So, Fernando, I apologize. I know you and I have spoken, and hopefully we'll hang out sometime in the future. You can show me around. Yeah. And no animosity. The Ataris are my buddies. I love them. I even played with them after that a little bit. Just that one tour was kind of my breaking point. I wasn't in the headspace to do it, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Hope that's a good answer.
Yeah. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Okay. So, our next question is from Scott in Australia.
Okay. What's up, Scott? Scott is a patron.
Oh.
You guys could be cool patrons like Scott.
He wants to know, what is your top five live bands?
Top five live bands. Well, my number one live band is not Metallica. It's Propagandhi. Speaking of Canada, we were talking earlier about Canada. Propagandhi is amazing. They're another band that I didn't even mention at the beginning. I should have about playing guitar because they're one of my biggest influences on my guitar playing. But they're from Winnipeg and they are amazing. And if you've never seen them live, you've never seen, music performed at that level, that much energy, that much technical prowess on their instruments. They're another level. Like, people just think they're a punk band. They are not a punk band. They're like a machine. Mm-hmm. So I will say Propaganda is my number one. How many did you want me to list?
Five.
Shit. Okay. Most fun to see live, No Effects. Mm-hmm. They're not very good live. Sorry if you guys are listening, but they are so much fun to watch, and Fat Mike's on stage banter and everything is really cool. So they're in there. Metallica is in there, even, they're getting older, but they still throw it down. I mean, people are always like, how much longer can you do this? Like, the Rolling Stones are in their 80s or whatever, but Rolling Stones don't play Master of Puppets, so they're in there. I will say Hot Water Music live is stellar.
Yeah.
I love Hot Water Music. I'm actually considering getting a Hot Water tattoo, which I'm sure I'll post on the Instagram if I ever get it.
Yeah.
But, and Alexis on Fire.
Absolutely.
Alexis on Fire, back in the day when I first met those guys, I will say live wasn't probably as good. Like, still great band. Energy, it was crazy. But over the years, as they've, put out more albums and they've just, they're so tight and it's so good. The guitar work is amazing. Their bass player, Steel, is just an insane dude when he's on stage. So, yeah, so I'll say Alexis on Fire, Hot Water Music, Metallica, No Effects for the fun and the entertainment. Mm-hmm. And then Propaganda is the best band live, hands down, of any band in the world to me.
Okay.
That's it.
There you go.
You want to hear the worst live band I've ever seen?
Sure.
Blink 182. Love those guys. Met them a couple times. No problems with them. But when I saw them a few years back, fucking horrible.
Not impressed.
No. But they're great musicians, great band. I just think they're having an off night. I don't know.
Okay.
Don't send me a bunch of fucking email because I said I didn't like how they played live.
You're going to have one of them on your
See, that's going to be the problem, because I'm going to get a hold of Mark, or I'm going to get a hold of Travis or somebody. And, hey, I'll be on the show. And then someone will tell them that I was talking shit. But no. I love Blink 182. I always have. They're wonderful people. I saw them live maybe 10, 12 years ago, and it was a fucking nightmare. So, but I mean, believe me, I've had fucking nightmare shows as well. So I understand.
True.
Like you saw me have a bad show.
I've seen you have a bad show. Not with the Ataris.
No. Yeah. Sometimes I have bad shows. Everybody does. I'm human. Everybody's human.
Okay.
Okay. So that was, who was that?
That was Scott.
Scott from Australia. What's up, Scott?
Okay.
Thank you for your question.
Oh, he also has another question.
He has another question. Okay, Scott.
All right.
I'll give you two because you're a patron.
What was your biggest fanboy moment?
Biggest fanboy moment?
Yes.
I mean, it goes back to Metallica. Everything in my life goes back to Metallica. I don't know if that's good or not.
Sounds like it.
Well, no, I met Metallica. I want to say late 90s. Yeah. Early 2000s, late 90s. And it was this little kind of like room, and James and Jason, the bass player, Jason Newsted, and James Hetfield, the singer, were in this little room. We're in there, we're talking. And it's that thing where you're getting ready to meet someone that you admire. Maybe they're not even famous, but somebody that you really, you look up to or whatever. And you say, you've got word vomit getting ready to come out that you don't want to sound like a dipshit, but you do. I went up to James and I was like, oh, you're the reason I play guitar. I love your band so much. It wouldn't stop. And he was super, super cool. And I remember he gave me a hug, which was weird because I didn't like offer the hug. he just shook my hand, but then he like kind of pulled me in and like did the hug thing. Mm-hmm. And he was awesome. He doesn't have to be nice, and he was super nice. People always say don't meet your heroes because they'll let you down. But I gotta say, over the years, I've met James twice. I met Jason, and I also met Kirk. And those guys are the real deal. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care about anybody's bullshit. Like, oh, they were a dick to me. Well, it's probably because you're a dick, because they were awesome. And I love them, and they're the reason that I play music in the first place. But I was a fangirl. I mean, or fanboy, whatever you want to say. I was, I was shaking. It was insane. Every time there, like I said, I've met James twice. I met Jason and I met Kirk different times, and I was shaking, like literally thought I was going to pass out. And then even people make fun of me all the time. You make fun of me on the podcast. When somebody's on the podcast that they like mean that much to me. Mm-hmm. I try to play it cool. Like, hey, this is my podcast and blah, blah, blah. But it's not like that. You've heard me talk to people on the podcast that you can tell I'm really into, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're just like super passionate, and there's certain people in there that like have inspired you in ways that
I turn into a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah. And like, so it's amazing to be able to speak to those people who have like shaped your career and your whole like music like in your life.
Well, it still blows me away that, like, you know, I save the texts on my phone.
Yeah,
like Greg Hetson from Bad Religion and the Circle Jerks text me a little kiss emoji, and like Matt Pinfield will hit me up once in a while and just ask how I'm doing. Like, that stuff freaks me the fuck out.
Yeah,
and it just keeps getting better and better, and I don't know, I've talked to so many people on this show that shaped who I am, that if this ended tomorrow, it's still a success.
Yeah.
But Daniel Johns, if you're out there from Silverchair, I want you on the show. Henry Rollins has turned me down twice, but I'm going to get him. Hank, you're going to be on the show.
I even emailed him. Yeah. I was like, hey, it's Christopher's wife. If you could just do me this one favor, I'll get like major wife points.
He's turned me down, but he's always super, super polite and nice about it. I used to invite Henry to Christmas dinner at my mom's every year, and he'd always go like, oh, sorry, man, I wish I could.
I mean, it's still possible. Maybe he'll listen to this and decide he wants to do it.
He's got an awesome podcast, too, with his assistant, Heidi. It's called Henry and Heidi. So if you guys need to, if you want to hear some really cool stories from one of my heroes, which how have I not talked about Henry Rollins yet?
I know.
He's amazing. His spoken word has literally changed how I think and believe sometimes. I know that sounds weird, but check out his podcast. It's called Henry and Heidi. It's on all the platforms. So what else we got?
Okay,
we're getting down to the bottom. It's almost 53 minutes in now, so yeah,
thanks Scott.
Thank
next
you Scott
to the next to on to the next question
on to the next question.
All right, so this is from Sarah in Oregon.
Sarah in Oregon, what's going on, Sarah?
She wants to know, how did you and your wife meet?
Well, I've been doing a lot of talking, so I'm going to let you take this one.
I mean,
I'll interject if I need to, but yeah.
Okay, so I guess from the beginning, we were Facebook friends, but we didn't really like talk.
I added you because you were mutual friends with someone and I thought you were cute.
Yeah, we just like saw each other on Facebook, liked posts and whatnot, like
about Carl Pilkington.
We didn't know each other. And one day I went to the beach at Bamboo Willie's, and Christopher was playing in his band, Rhythm Intervention. Reggae band. And I grabbed a drink, sat down at the table, looked up at the band, and I looked straight at him, and I was like, wow, this guy's pretty sexy, and I want to know more about him.
But didn't you think at first, like, isn't that guy that I've talked to on Facebook?
I was like, he looks familiar. Like, I think we're friends on Facebook, and I never really paid attention to you before, like, on Facebook, but then I saw you in person, and the way you played guitar, the way, like, you were passionate, and just, like,
I'm
you
pretty
moved,
crazy.
And, like, yeah, it was exciting.
You've made fun of me before about my face.
No, but it's, like, exciting, and, like, it's just really fun to watch you play guitar.
Thank
you. So I was like, gonna just message him and see what's up. And
I was going to message you on the break because I saw you too, and as I opened my phone to go to Messenger, I had a message from you already. I'm like, whoa, I don't have to do any work at all, it's already there.
And so then, like, we went on a date and
never were apart again.
And then, like, 2 months later, we were pregnant with our son, Silas.
There we go. And then we
things moved very fast.
9 months later, we moved to Jamaica.
Yeah. And then we had our daughter. And
then we moved back and had our daughter.
Yeah, and like yeah. it just, we've been on a roller coaster ride, but it's been a blast.
It's been awesome.
And I wouldn't change anything. And I love you and I love our life.
I love you too. And you are the best podcast producer ever. And I will tell you why she's a producer on the show. Because she takes care of the kids and is the best mom in the world. And she allows me the time I need to produce this and create it. And there's no way I could do this without you. So mushy stuff out of the way. I love you.
I totally Thanks. Support it. And you've had amazing guests and you will continue to have amazing guests.
Yeah.
And it's something you love and I'm proud of you.
It's a lot of fun. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show, because I knew that, you know, I knew it would be awkward. You've never done something like this.
I'm a little awkward.
But it's fun, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think we have a couple more. One more. What have we got? We're getting close to the end here. So I know you guys are, if you're still listening, I give you guys an award for still listening.
Thanks for listening to me. So we have two more questions, and this is from David in Texas.
David in Texas. What's going on, David?
All right. So David wants to know, what is your favorite female punk singer? I think I know this one.
Do you?
I don't know.
What were you going to say? Well,
I was going to say Kiara.
She didn't sing.
Oh,
she played bass.
That's right. Oh, he said singer.
Oh, I love Kiara, though. She's awesome.
Sorry.
No, that's great. I mean, Kiara gets a shout out. Kiara Rossler from Black Flag.
She's pretty awesome.
She's pretty awesome. If it's singer, punk rock singer, this is a hard question for me. There's a lot of them. When I was younger, I won't say like super young, but like back in the early 2000s, Brody from the Distillers. Have you ever heard the Distillers?
Yeah.
Man, she was killer. She's like a female version of Tim Armstrong, which I think her and Tim actually dated or were married or whatever, but she's killer. And I know they're still doing music or she's doing solo stuff. I need to check that out. Maybe she'll be on the show. I need to have more women.
Yes.
Not only have you told me that, but also a friend of mine from Florida, Tatiana, she hit me up and she's like, why don't you have more girls on the show? And I was like, I know I need to. So Tatiana, shout out. I'm working on it.
Girl power.
Yes. I will say another one of my favorites, and she was on the show, Agent M from Tsunami Bomb.
Yeah.
She's fucking awesome. And she's doing Survival Guide, which is her like solo thing right now. She just did back in Christmas. She did guest vocals on an MXPX Christmas song. She's awesome. I always loved her voice. I know it's kind of maybe a guilty pleasure. You're not supposed to like it, but Haley from Paramore, I don't know if that's even punk.
She's amazing.
She's got a great voice.
Yeah.
It's killer voice.
I think everybody had a crush on her back in the day.
I'm not even talking crush. I'm just saying like her voice was killer.
She was really amazing.
I will say there's a band right now on Fat Records that I've recently started listening to called the Bomb Pops, and Jen and Polly are their two singers, two female singers. And it's Screeching Weasel, kind of Chicago-style pop punk. And, I mean, it's really, really, really good. So I will say currently probably Jen and Polly from the Bomb Pops. But I love Brody from the Distillers. Haley from Paramore gets... I don't even know if Paramore is a punk band or if they ever were a punk band, but she's an amazing singer.
Yeah.
And that's what I'll say. But I'll say currently, yeah, the Bomb Pops. So check out... They're on Fat Records. They're really, really good.
Okay. All right, so we'll go to
This is the last question, right?
Last question.
Who does this question come from?
This is still from David.
Oh, this is
Texas.
David again. Okay.
All right.
And I think David is a patron as well.
I guess this is a pretty good one to leave on.
Okay.
What is the worst bathroom that you used on tour, and did you use it? I'm sure you used it.
Yeah, because I don't have that luxury.
He doesn't have the luxury of holding it.
When people are always like I had a buddy, I won't name any names because I don't know if he listens, but if he does, he'll get really pissed if I give his name out. But I had a friend that would only use his bathroom at his house.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if we were in Indianapolis an hour away or if we were wherever we were at, if he had to go to the bathroom, I mean, he'd pee wherever he wanted to pee. But
yeah.
I'm talking deuces.
Yeah.
He would go home. He'd be sitting in my house. We'd be hanging out and go, oh, I got to go home for a little bit. Like, why? Just use my bathroom. So I don't have that luxury of like, oh, it's time to go. I better go find a bathroom that's nice. No, you just do what you got to do. The worst bathroom, that I ever used on tour. It won't even be on tour. The worst bathroom that I remember growing up while I was playing shows at the Emerson Theater in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. It was really bad. A lot of cockroaches. I've walked in there before to use the restroom, and there were like crust punks with mohawks having sex in one of the stalls. Like, pretty gross. I don't think it's probably that gross anymore. The Emerson's still open. I'm sure they probably sanitized it since, you know, I was 16 and I used to go there. But yeah. The bathroom at CBGB's in New York was pretty horrendous. Although I was there a couple times and it wasn't bad, but most of the time it was pretty bad. But I used it. There's not, I'll tell you right now, if you're in New York City, you use whatever bathroom is available because nobody has public bathrooms.
Yeah.
Nobody. You're walking around New York City like, I got to go to the bathroom. Like, oh, sorry. What if I buy something? Nope. Like,
yeah, they don't want you to use their bathroom.
But there's, I mean, there were some places overseas where it was just a hole in the ground and you just put your feet. I can't remember the exact country now off the top of my head, but it's a thing where you just kind of put your feet and you squat and you do your business, you know? I do know that in Japan, they've got those ones where you kind of, they're like a little like phone booth thing where you pay money and it opens up and you go in and you do your business and then it kind of self cleans itself.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, bad bathrooms everywhere. I will say in Africa one time, it wasn't actually playing a show at a venue, but we were out in the middle of somewhere outside of Johannesburg and we stopped at this little like gas station to use the bathroom and it was horrible. And there were actual monkeys like kind of living in the bathroom. And the door was ripped off the hinges and yeah, it was a nightmare, but I've used them all because I don't have the luxury. We got to go. You got to go. So yeah. What's your worst bathroom
that you've ever
used? I mean, any in Costa Rica that were bad?
Well, yeah, like pretty much any hostel that you stayed in, like the bathrooms were really finicky with like flushing. It was really awkward, like not very clean. Like, yeah, I don't know. It was rough. I mean, I stayed in this jungle house where like it was outdoor bathroom and it was amazing. Like outdoor shower, outdoor bathtub. And you just like were one with nature and it felt amazing. I don't know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I take it that's the end of the questions. Do you have any questions you want to ask me or no? You're not really, I mean, if you have a question, I'll answer it.
Are you going to start putting dishes in the dishwasher? No, I'm just
kidding. I will start doing that. I always forget. I always clean the sippy cups before I go to sleep, but sometimes I don't do that. Most of the time I don't do that.
Are you going to start taking me on dates?
I'm going to start taking you on dates as soon as my bookings for this show calm down.
Okay.
Because right. I have like 3 or 4 this week, right?
Yes, yeah. You have a lot.
I have a lot.
Yeah, like every day that you're off, you have a podcast. So
yes, we've been
pretty busy. And like, no, I mean, it's just we have kids and we're busy and life's hectic.
So. There will be many dates coming up. It is Mother's Day this coming weekend. So happy Mother's Day. You're a wonderful mother. I love you.
Thanks. I love you.
But I think that's going to do it, guys. So thank you so much for listening. I want to say thank you to my beautiful wife, Felicia. I appreciate you being on the show. Do you want to say anything to the cool listeners out there?
No, just thanks for listening to us. I hope I wasn't too awkward. And you guys have a great rest of your week. And maybe I'll be back on sometime.
Yeah, definitely. So guys, thank you very much. Make sure to check out all my sponsors. I want to give a quick shout out to my buddies over at Jabberjaw Media. They are the network that I'm on. You can listen and subscribe at jabberjawmedia.com. And I'm going to get out of here. Do you want to play any certain song? You want to play our song?
Yeah.
You want to play that?
Yeah.
What? Who's the artist again? I'm so stupid. It's Draw Your Swords.
Draw Your Swords, Julius and...
I'll have to look it up. I don't remember the name. It's like a husband and a wife, right?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much our son was conceived too.
So yeah, I'm gonna play Draw Your Swords. I can't remember the actual name of the people that do it because
it's
stupid,
a good one.
But it's good. So here it is. I'll see you guys next week and peace out. See ya. So yeah, this is Chris with a correction, just breaking in. The artist that does Draw Your Swords, our song, is Angus and Julia Stone. So here it is, Draw Your Swords, Angus and Julia Stone. See you guys next week. Chris out once again.
See her come down through the clouds. I feel like a fool. I ain't got nothing left to give. Thank you.
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget. And we decide if they brought the one-hit thunder or were nothing more than a one-hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week. So pass the Dutchie, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.